On a more positive note, Sean realized as he finally achieved lip lock, or perhaps it was now muzzle lock with Roxy, was that muzzles opened just a bit differently than mouths did, and he had a much longer tongue now as well. The tongue duel they engaged in as he wrapped his thicker and stronger furry arms around her, pulling Roxy tightly against him, was amazing. Jolene watched in amazement. She'd seen Roxy's hybrid form before, of course, more than once and rather closely, to be honest. Roxy stood 6 foot as a cheetah-ware hybrid, but Sean had to be over 7 feet tall. Jolene was having trouble gauging it, because of the way his lion's mane fluffed out around his head, and the way the two of them, Roxy and Sean, were now going at it. Jolene watched as Roxy literally climbed up his body, as Sean cupped Roxy's ass with one strong hand, while the other twined in her blonde hair, tipping her head back as he started to lick and nibble at her neck. Sean just rumbled happily as Roxy grabbed at his shoulders and effortlessly lifted herself off the ground, wrapping her strong, sexy legs around his hips. Moving his attentions down to nibble at her neck had a definite effect on her, causing her hips to start grinding against his pelvis, and of course, his erection, which was trapped between the two of them. Spreading his legs a little wider for balance, he raised her up with the hand he had cupped under her butt. She seemed to weigh almost nothing now. Roxy cooperated by loosening her legs a moment, and reaching down, she steered him into her heat. Roxy was more than ready for him, and as he lowered her, she wrapped her leg tightly around him once more, as they made love, standing there in the center of his room. Jolene watched an increasing arousal of her own as Roxy and Sean engaged in loving each other, standing there, both of their tails lashing in excitement. It was one of the most erotic things she'd ever seen in her life. The large lion planted almost like a tree before her, his body thick with heavy muscles, and the sexy, svelte cheetah wrapped around him, moving up and down, grinding her body back down against his. Just one very large and very sexy statue. Up until this moment, Jolene hadn't realized just how much Roxy felt for Sean. Oh, she knew that Roxy liked him, enjoyed his company, as well as having him in her bed, and Sean, of course, was obviously and blatantly completely besotted with Roxy. But the way they held one another, the words of love that were being gasped, well, it might have only been a few days, but Jolene suddenly realized Roxy hadn't been joking when she'd told Jolene that Sean was hers now, and that Roxy was his. Which Jolene realized with a sudden and even larger shock that those hints of her, Jolene ending up as Sean's as well, hadn't been jokes. She'd heard that lichens could form pair bonds, actually mating, very quickly, and now she had seen it with her own eyes. She knew for certain that Sean wanted her as he wanted Roxy, and now she suddenly realized just what he wanted her for. And all Jolene could do was sit and watch the two of them, her own lust rising, unsure if she should run or stay and submit to what just might now be inevitable. There was no doubt that Sean was a handsome man, as well as a handsome lichen. Jolene already had strong feelings for Roxy, with all the sex they'd had. It was hard not to. Jolene was sure that Sean would definitely not be willing to share her with other males. But then again, with the amount of power she got from Sean and from Roxy, did she really need anyone else in her life anymore? Her master had told her, the night he had let her go after her training was complete, that while physical love was a powerful thing for a tantric sex practitioner, should she ever find a deep spiritual love with another, it would shadow all that had come before. When Roxy and Sean finally shivered and shook, calling out their love for one another, they both stood there a moment, just panting and catching their breath. Setting Roxy down carefully on the bed as she unwrapped herself from him, Sean looked over at Jolene, who was sitting there, wide-eyed, naked, and panting heavily, as if she'd just had an orgasm herself.
"Your turn," Sean purred.
Jolene nodded slowly. "Oh, yes, definitely," she panted. "But shift back first. You're so big you'll crush me."
"I'll be gentle. Never fear," Sean said,
shifting back and carefully climbing up onto the bed with the two of them.
Tuesday night. The three of them, Sean, Roxy, and Jolene, were sitting around on Sean's bed as they finished off the last of the pizza. Sean felt oddly at ease, for perhaps the first time since everything in his life had been turned upside down on Friday. Had it really only been 4 days ago? There were people after him, apparently a lot of people, he'd realized, while lying in bed with Roxy and Jolene after making love to both of his women. Even that realization, that they were both his, didn't bother him. Perhaps this was a sign of what it meant to be integrated with his new aspect, his lion? Or was it just the side effect of having spent a couple of wonderful hours making love and having sex with two absolutely beautiful women? Jolene had just finished relating to him everything that had happened at Sawyer's earlier that day. Her comments about Marx's reactions, while made more as a joke about Sawyer's ability to get himself in trouble at times, made Sean realize that he did have allies in what was coming. He also realized he needed to delete his Facebook page, as well as all of the rest of his social media accounts. There might be a time for that stuff later, but that time wasn't now.
"So now what?"
Roxy asked, rubbing her leg against his foot.
"Well," Sean sighed, "I think I'm going to be dropping out of college."
"Really?"
Roxy exclaimed.
"But I thought you had said no."
Sean shook his head.
"After today, I can't set foot on campus anymore. One of my profs offered to help me do my core courses by internet, and I may take him up on that if I can. But until this is done, I'm finished there."
"I'm sorry, love,"
Roxy said, leaning forward and putting her hand on his knee.
"I'm sorry too, Sean,"
Jolene said, and rubbed his other knee.
"Well, to be honest," Sean said, smiling as he patted both of their hands.
It was kind of hard to feel sorry for oneself while sitting cross-legged on a bed with two beautiful naked women.
"I need to start studying the books my father left me. If this fight is going to involve magic, then I need to start learning about it. That just isn't going to leave me with a lot of time for college."
"Dad did say that alchemists make a lot of money,"
Roxy smiled, trying encouraging him.
"Especially as there's only one in town these days," Jolene agreed.
Sean nodded.
"Well, even if it wasn't, until we can figure out some way to solve this whole thing, I can't go to school. It's not just that I'm a target there. How long until other people get hurt? We saw what happened at the mall. If these people get desperate..."
"And they will,"
Jolene interrupted with a heavy sigh.
"I'd be endangering a lot of innocent people."
"But just how do we end it?"
Roxy asked.
"It's not going to end when you turn 21, Sean. It's not going to end until they either own you or stop you."
"Oh, I can think of one way to stop them," Sean smiled.
"And that would be?"
"Jolene already told us that Sawyer would be more than happy to sell whatever we come up with. We just give it to him and let him do just that."
"I'm not so sure that Sawyer would survive that," Jolene pointed out.
"Okay, we put it up on the internet, share it with the world. You've already told us that most of the people in the magical communities don't use it."
"You may have a point there,"
Jolene nodded.
"But what if it's not complete?"
Roxy asked.
"Then what?"
Sean shrugged. "We publish all of his notes, all of his work. Once I'm no longer the only person that has it, going after me becomes pointless."
"Or we just tell them that your father didn't leave you anything,"
Jolene said.
"After your birthday passes. When is it, anyways?"
"The 23rd.
"The 23rd? That's next week?"
"Yep," Sean nodded. "Friday. But no matter what I say, they're not going to believe any of it without proof. And the only way I can prove it is by succeeding. Until I do, they'll either think I'm still working on it, or I succeeded and I'm sitting on it until the perfect time to strike."
"So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place then?"
Roxy asked. Sean smiled.
"Maybe. But I can't think of anyone I'd rather be stuck there with than you two."
"But that still brings us back to what do we do next?"
Jolene asked.
"I like the fact that you keep saying we."
Sean smiled,
and, leaning all the way forward, he put his hands to either side of hers and gave her a kiss as she blushed before sitting back down. "I think what we need to do is find some place safer to live." Sean looked at both of them. "Spring break starts Saturday, and the school will turn into a ghost town. Even with Jolene's spell protecting this place, we'll still stand out like a sore thumb.
And if they just send some folks around looking for us, they'll find you pretty easily,"
Roxy agreed, nodding. "So the question is, where do we go?" Sean looked at both of them as they stopped and considered it.
"Leave town?"
Roxy suggested. "And go where?"
"Las Vegas? My dad has quite a bit of power and connections there."
"And then I'm firmly associated with not only you, but with him and the rest of your family? I don't know if that's a good idea. Plus, Vegas is a pretty visible town. I'd rather stay out of sight. Besides which, if my father did leave me something, I'd think that it's probably somewhere here in Reno."
"So what then? Go up into the mountains? Head up to the Tahoe Forest?"
"Well, that would definitely drop us out of sight," Sean laughed.
"Yeah, but we'd be easier to find,"
Jolene said. "But we wouldn't have to worry about witnesses, so we could deal with them rather firmly," Sean growled, grinning evilly.
"Down, boy,"
Jolene laughed.
"You haven't been alike in a week yet. You've got a lot to learn about fighting, I'm sure. Besides, while you two might be more than fine with going au naturel and living in the woods, I'm more of a city girl, without the benefit of a natural fur coat."
"I could change that for you," Sean said, still grinning.
"Sean, really?"
Jolene gasped, just a little surprised. The idea that he'd want to infect her, change her, had never once entered her mind. "Well, sooner or later," he said with a wink, "I'd think you'd want to join the wild side." Roxy snorted and smiled, then patted both Sean and a slightly shocked-looking Jolene on the knee.
"I think that's a conversation for another time, okay? So, Jolene, do you have an idea?"
Jolene shook herself and then looked at Roxy.
"Yeah, we stay in town. With all the people here, it makes us harder to find. And Sean and I are both locals, and you've lived here more than long enough to know how to find your way around. I'd say we either find something in one of the business districts, because it's cheap with lots of inside space to defend ourselves, or maybe in or near one of the casinos, because it's crowded with lots of security."
"And lots of cameras," Sean sighed. "I don't think any of us want me or Roxy showing up on camera in the fur."
Good point. I hadn't considered that. Okay, one of the business districts."
Sean nodded. "Well, that's a start. Anything else?" Roxy nodded.
"Yep. Range time."
"Range time?"
Jolene asked, confused. "Pistol range."
"Oh. We need a car,"
Roxy grumbled. They had gotten their holsters on, guns loaded, and found out that the nearest pistol range was about 2 miles away. Sean was about to agree, and then remembered, "We have a car."
"We do?"
Roxy asked as he got out his phone.
"Yeah, my mom's car, but it's got two flats. Hold on a moment."
Opening up his phone, he dialed Steve.
"Sean,"
Steve said, answering the phone.
"Where have you been hiding yourself? We missed you Friday night."
"Didn't Alex tell you?"
"Tell me what? I haven't talked to anybody since Friday. Terry and I spent the weekend with her parents, and I was slammed yesterday with work here at the garage. A couple of our regular customers got their windows broken in that big dust-up at the mall over the weekend, so I had my guys working on them along with all the typical morning stuff."
Sean nodded to himself. Steve had gone to work for his father right out of high school and taken over the auto repair business his dad had spent years building up. Steve had done so well that his father had just left his son to it, bought a sailboat, and now Steve's parents were sailing around the world. Last he heard, they were in New Guinea.
"First off, my mom's car is at home with two slashed tires. Happened at work, and they had it towed back to the house yesterday."
"And they didn't repair them for you?"
"Not from what the detective told me."
Sean sighed.
"Detective?"
Steve exclaimed loudly.
"What the hell happened, Sean?"
"Mom's missing. Samson's dead. Someone shot him to death up in Sparks."
"What?"
Also, the house was broken into, ransacked. So was Samson's, but he caught the guys in the act. The police found their dead bodies inside.
You're shitting me. Samson's dead? I can't believe it. Do they think this has something to do with your mom missing?
Yeah, it probably does, Sean sighed.
Dude, if there is anything I can do for you, anything, just say the word, man, and it's done. I'll send one of my guys over there to replace the tires right now, free. It's on me, man. Don't worry about it. Are you holding up okay? Do you need a place to stay? You can always crash at my place. Terry likes you. She won't mind.
Thanks, Steve, Sean smiled to himself. Steve was his oldest friend. A lot of kids had looked down on him, too, because Steve's dad was a simple mechanic. When Steve's dad gave Steve a Ferrari as a graduation present, a lot of kids suddenly discovered just how much a simple mechanic who owns one of the largest shops in Reno actually makes. Several of their former classmates actually were now on Steve's payroll.
But I'm staying with my girlfriend right now.
Girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Man, what didn't happen to you this weekend?
Yeah, I know. Up until I got a call from the police on Sunday, life was going good, Sean sighed. Honestly, she's been a lifesaver.
Well, any woman who will stand by you through this is without a doubt a lifesaver. Better get a ring on her finger quick, man.
Oh, I will. Trust me on that one, Steve. Look, I need to run. I got a million things to do here.
Gotcha. Just remember, if you need it, call. Anytime, day or night, you hear?
Thanks, Steve.
Hey, that's what friends are for, bud. Later.
Well, that takes care of that.
Sean sighed and put away the phone.
Is he serious about helping you?
Roxy asked.
Yeah. Steve and I go way back. With my going to college and him taking over his dad's business, we don't see each other as much as we used to. But I've had to go out more than once in the middle of the night when I was in high school to help him out of a jam.
Well, that's nice and all, but it still doesn't help us get where we're going.
I guess the only thing we can do is walk and flag down a cab if we see one, Sean said as Roxy grabbed her jacket and nodded.
We need to get you a hat, she said, looking up at him, thinking. And maybe some glasses or something. It'll make you less obvious.
Uh-huh.
Hey, does Jolene have a car?
Roxy stopped and looked at him.
You know, I have no idea. So, off to the indoor range, get some practice in, then off to get your mom's car?
Yeah, and if possible, I'd like to get Jolene to do to my mom's house what she did to our apartment building.
And the car,
Roxy added.
Ew, have sex in my mom's car? Sean said, making a face.
Roxy shoved him.
You are such a goof. Now keep your eyes open, and hopefully we won't have any fights today.
Home. Again. It was after lunchtime when they finally got to Sean's mother's house. Roxy paid the driver as he got out and looked at the car. It didn't have two new tires on it. It had four. Sean shook his head, but he wasn't surprised. Knowing his mom, the back tires were probably almost bald. There was some sort of yellow device over the doorknob to Samson's house with the words police on it, and a sign on the door saying, crime scene, do not enter. Getting out his keys and going up the steps to his mom's front door, he unlocked the door, and with Roxy following him, he stepped inside. The place was still a mess, but less of a mess, if that was possible. Before, where everything had been just tossed all over the place, now, at least it was stacked and ordered in piles all against the back wall.
Well, it was nice of them to organize things at least, Sean sighed. Makes it easier for them to tell what they've gone through or haven't,
Roxy said.
Let's check the kitchen. If there's any food, I'm hungry.
Lock the door.
I don't think that door will stop anybody, Sean.
Yeah, but we'll hear them kicking it in.
Roxy tipped her head to the side in a shrug.
Good point.
The mess in the kitchen was less. Apparently one of the detectives had an OCD streak, as the dishwasher had been loaded and run. Opening the refrigerator, there was food, and it all looked fine.
Might as well cook all this meat before it goes bad, Sean said, and pulling out the skillet, he turned the electric burner on and tossed a ham steak in, leaving a second one on the counter for when it was finished. Raiding a few more things, he set them on the table.
Well, let's see the rest of the mess, Sean said, leaving the food to cook as he went through the rest of the trailer. Surprisingly, both his old bed and his mom's bed had been made. All the dirty linens had been folded and put in a pile on the floor. There wasn't much in his old room. He didn't have much to start with, and most of what he had was now in his apartment. His mother's room, however, would take quite a while to clean up, and Sean really didn't see what the point to it was. Either she'd come home and fix it herself, or she was dead, and it would all just go into the trash. It hit him then. Why it had taken so long, he didn't know, but suddenly he realized that his mom was missing, probably dead. Samson was dead. He'd seen his body. Suddenly he couldn't see anything. It was all just too blurry, and he was starting to gasp and choke.
Sean, are you okay?
Roxy said, coming over to him.
No, no, I'm not, he said, trying not to lose it completely.
They're dead. They're all dead. Everyone is gone. It wasn't enough for them to kill my father, take everything we owned, destroy us completely. No. They had to come back and kill the only family I had left. Sobbing then, he just buried his face in Roxy's chest and held on to her as he cried. His old life was gone. Nothing would ever be the same. All he had wanted to do was get a decent job, find a cute girl, and settle down. He didn't want to be famous. He didn't want to be anybody different from anybody else. He just didn't want to have to worry about if there would be food on the table each morning, or if there'd be a roof over his head each night. And they took that from him. They took that all. Along with his father, along with Samson and his mother. They took his mother. Probably one of the most harmless people in the world who had endured years of suffering and never once complained.
I'm going to kill them, Sean gulped. I'm going to find them, and I'm going to kill them all. I don't care who they are, where they are. I'm going to find them, and I'm going to tear their fucking heads off, Roxy. I'm going to make them fucking pay for what they've done to me, my family, and what they're trying to do to us now.
Don't worry, Sean, she whispered and patted his head. I'll hold them down for you. Sean gulped and caught his breath, then looked up at her and smiled. You will, won't you? Roxy smiled with a fierce expression that he hadn't seen since when she'd plotted to lure the men hunting them into a trap.
I love you, Sean. You're my mate, my man. Anyone who fucks with you deserves to die. That's just the way it is.
Sean nodded and kissed her, then gave her a tight hug.
We better flip that steak or it might catch on fire, she warned him.
He nodded and let her go, then got up and went into the bathroom and washed his face.
I'm sorry, he said, and gave her a hug.
Don't be, Roxy said.
I was starting to wonder if you had any feelings left, if you were capable of grieving anymore. It's just been so unreal, all of this.
Even me? She teased, leading him back to the kitchen.
You've been the only shining light, the only real joy in this nightmare.
He sighed, looking down at that cute butt of hers that he had admired for so long from afar.
Oh, forgot about Jolene already?
Roxy laughed, and coming into the kitchen, she picked up the skillet and with a practiced toss, flipped the ham steak onto its other side.
You'll always be number one, Roxy,
Sean purred, and coming up from behind her, he put his arms around her.
I know there'll be others. My lion definitely wants to add Jolene, and, well...
You want her too?
Roxy laughed.
Yeah.
He smiled and kissed her on the side of the neck, letting his hands cup her soft breasts.
It's okay, love. I knew when I first scoped you out that lions are like that.
And still you brought me home? Sean was a little surprised by that, but then he was still surprised that he had Roxy, and he did have her. Both he and his lion knew it.
Sean, I grew up with a very dominant and at times overbearing father. You were attractive before this happened. I always thought you were cute, but you were always acting like you were trying to hide something, and nothing makes a girl curious like a secret. But you were human, and well, cross-dating rarely works out. But when you became a lion?
Roxy leaned back against him.
I like strong men, and I like dominant men. You're the first man my father hasn't run off. I knew he wouldn't be able to. Hell, the moment he met you, he even knew he wouldn't be able to. I could see it in his eyes. Besides, lions aren't the only ones who have multiple wives. My granddad had two. Probably why my father isn't as upset as some other lichen fathers might be.
Sean nibbled some more along Roxy's neck, causing her to sigh and lean back further into him.
Why don't you put that on the side and we can go...
Sean started, thinking that maybe he could finally christen his old bed when someone knocked on the door. Sean growled and was surprised at how fast the gun appeared in Roxy's hand.
Enemies don't knock, he sighed. The dangerous ones do,
Roxy countered.
Louise?
Are you home?
A woman's voice came through the door.
Mrs. Brantley, Sean sighed.
Gossip?
And then some. But she bakes cakes and cookies and loves to share.
Sean smiled, and after giving Roxy a kiss on the head, he went over to the door and opened it.
Sean, I thought I saw you. Is your mother home?
Hello, Mrs. Brantley. No, my mom isn't home. I don't know if the police told you, but my mom's a missing person right now.
Oh, dear,
Mrs. Brantley said, holding her hand up to her mouth.
Everyone heard about what happened to poor Gregory. We had been hoping that your mother was just staying with you until the police had cleaned everything up.
I'm sorry, but no.
How are you holding up, Sean? Is everything okay?
About as okay as it can be, I guess.
Sean, dinner's ready,
Roxy called from the kitchen. Mrs. Brantley blinked.
Who's that?
Oh, that's my fiancé.
Fiancé?
I had no idea, Sean. Well, congratulations,
Sean smiled.
Thank you. I'd invite you in, Mrs. Brantley, but I still haven't cleaned up the mess from the detectives, and well, I'm still dealing with everything that's been going on.
That's okay, Sean. I'll let you go eat. My prayers are with you and your mom.
Thanks,
Sean said and closed the door. Locking it, he headed back to the kitchen.
Thanks for the save.
Sean sighed, and taking the plate Roxy handed him, he kissed her, and sitting down, proceeded to eat while she cooked the other ham steak for herself.
We really can't stay here long,
Sean sighed after they'd finished eating.
No, we can't, Roxy agreed. Is there anything you need? Anything you want to get?
Sean sighed and shook his head.
When you grow up without anything, it's kind of hard to make attachments to things.
He took a moment to look around.
Well, let's clean up and get out of here. We can hit the lawyer's office and then get back to the apartment.
Lawyer?
Samson had a will, and apparently I'm the sole heir.
I thought he didn't have anything to leave anyone.
Well, I think he owned the trailer. He had a car and a motorcycle as well. Beyond the books and clothing in his house, I don't think he had all that much. But if he left it to me,
Sean shrugged,
I might as well get it. Not like I've got a lot anyway.
Sean grinned suddenly then.
And we can't keep robbing the corpses of our enemies. Sooner or later we'll run out of them.
Roxy laughed, getting up and helping him rinse the dishes and put them in the dishwasher. Then Sean grabbed one of the extra sets of keys for the car, and locking up, they got in and drove off. It didn't take them long to get to the lawyer's office, and thankfully he was in. The office wasn't terribly large or very fancy. There was a secretary, a small waiting room, and the lawyer's office. It was located on the second floor of a fairly nondescript office building with insurance agents' offices and other such stuff throughout.
Ah, Mr. Valence,
Anthony Barton, the attorney said, standing up.
Call me Sean, please.
And this is Roxy,
Sean said, shaking hands.
Please, sit, Sean.
Roxy? Barton said, sitting down himself.
Give me a moment to find the file.
Ah, here it is. Barton pulled a folder out of his desk and laid it on the table. It's all fairly simple. Everything that was Mr. Sampson's is now yours. His home, everything in it, car, motorcycle, his tools for work, his bank account.
Barton looked up. I can have that transferred to your account if you wish.
Sean nodded and looked at the piece of paper that Barton had pushed across his desk towards him.
Just sign there, and I'll see to the title transfers. Do you have a current address?
Just send it to my mom's house, Sean said, reading over the document. It was fairly simple and all rather cut and dried. Just add 2 to Samson's address. We lived next door.
Barton nodded. Sure, not a problem.
Picking up a pen, Sean signed it and slid the paper back towards Barton.
Oh, and here are the keys to Samson's house, his car, motorcycle, and tool shed,
Barton said, picking up an envelope and handing it to Sean. Thanks. Is there anything else?
No. That would be it.
Thanks, Sean said, standing, and sticking out his hand, he shook hands with Barton as he stood up. I hate to rush off like this, but, well, the people who killed Samson are trying to kill me, and until I know who the hell they are, there isn't a lot I can do about it.
Are you sure about that? Barton asked, looking at Sean. The police seem to think that he just stumbled on some tweakers robbing houses. Killed the 2 in his house, went after the others, and they killed him for it.
Sean opened his mouth, about to say something, and then remembered something he saw on a Netflix show. Pulling out his wallet, he took out a $5 bill and stuffed it in Barton's pocket. There. You're my lawyer now, Sean said, and noticed that Barton suddenly looked a lot more serious.
You're not making meth out in the desert, are you?
No, but I was there when Samson was killed. He was saving me from being kidnapped. Apparently my father was actually murdered because of something he did, or was doing, and now they're suddenly afraid I'm going to do the same damn thing.
If that's true, why don't you go to the police?
Because the police wouldn't believe me, just like you don't. Even if they did, they can't protect me. These are powerful people with lots of money.
So, what are you going to do?
What they're all afraid I'm going to do, of course, Sean said, leaving the office. What other choice do I have?
Wednesday afternoon.
Hun, Sean said, looking over at Roxy, who was studying. Take a look at this, would you?
Sure. What is it?
Roxy said, looking up. It's the 4th key from the envelope that the lawyer gave me.
The one for your friend's tool shed?
Samson didn't have a tool shed. He didn't even have a garage, Sean sighed.
Do you think,
Roxy asked, picking up the key and looking at it,
that this is what everyone is looking for?
Sean shrugged. Maybe. I don't know. But if it is, how did Samson manage to take it without everyone knowing about it?
Sean stopped and looked at the key in Roxy's hand.
I suspect that it probably isn't, but it's obviously important.
Well, maybe Jolene can help us out when she gets back.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Why don't you try studying for a while? Maybe it'll help.
I'm probably dropping out. I don't see what the point is at the moment.
I wasn't talking about school, hon. I was thinking about those spell books you have. I'm surprised you haven't been diving into them every spare moment.
Sean looked back at her sheepishly. When the spell had triggered last night, he'd immediately canceled it and gone back to sleep, as he was just too tired after everything that had happened, not to mention what he'd done with the girls.
Can you believe that I keep forgetting to do it? Well, I'm reminding you now,
Roxy said and pointed at him.
Study.
Yes, ma'am. Laying back on the bed, Sean started thinking about the magical classroom his father had created. Nothing happened. Next, he cast the spell that he'd learned, and the magical spreadsheet, or what he was now thinking of as his stats sheet, opened up. A quick look at that showed nothing had changed. Closing that spell, he wondered a moment. Could he only do this when he was asleep? If so, that would suck. Then he remembered that it all focused on the watch that Samson had given him, which his father had prepared. Raising his hand, he looked at the watch and concentrated on the magical classroom. It worked, and suddenly he was there once more. Looking down at his desk, there were now several books with names on each of them. Picking up the book from the previous night, Mastery of Self, he skimmed it quickly.
Nothing new had appeared in it, so he set it back down. Next, he picked up one labeled An Introduction to Magic and started to read that one. As books went, it was fascinating to Sean. It talked about the structure of magic, starting first with where the power came from. Primarily, it came from oneself, and some people, as well as some creatures, had more than others. It wasn't quite the power of life, because certain objects could be embodied with magical spells by alchemists, and the secrets of how they did that were closely guarded ones, taught only from father to son. Sean was a bit surprised to see that for something that had apparently been around for thousands of years, where the power came from, no one really knew. But then again, no one knew where gravity came from, but everybody inherently understood just how it worked. But that was just the introduction. The next part talked about spells. Spells were all about using a language, which had a structure, a syntax, and a series of simple commands that could be combined in an infinite number of ways. There were more complex commands and structures that took longer to do, but once done by a magic user, you never had to do them again. You simply called them out in your regular spellcasting. Sean got it immediately. Magic was a programming language. Plain and simple, the same basic fundamentals were there. All of them. The logic statements, the branches, the tests, it was all there. Even variables, pointers, names, it was all about building objects and manipulating them. Magic was an object-oriented language. Digging through the book further, he even found the parallels to serial programming, though he could find nothing on parallel programming. He wondered briefly if that thought had ever occurred to anyone. Maybe it was in an advanced text? They mentioned ritual covens with more than one user, so perhaps it was there. Sean also wondered about the underlying structure of the language briefly. Computers had compilers that turned code into machine code. A basic structure of ones and zeros that people used by assigning labels to and called assembly code to make it easier to remember. He wondered if that existed as well. Setting that book down, he saw one titled Advanced Magical Structures, and picking that one up, he started in immediately. The book was all about how complicated spells worked. The high-level ones, Sean guessed. Obviously, it wasn't a book for a novice like him, because the book described very advanced spells and how they were constructed. But Sean had almost no problems figuring it out. It was so close to his object-oriented textbook that Sean was shocked by the similarities. Objects, classes, inheritance, polymorphism, data hiding and encapsulation, it was all there. The parallels between it and several other languages were shockingly close, close enough that Sean started to wonder if he could just use one of those languages instead. But then, how would he implement it? Putting the book down, he started to look for an intermediate guide, something that would teach him how to craft spells, some place to start. Just because he was pretty sure he understood the theory, it didn't mean he could actually cast any spells. That was when he felt something tugging on him. So he quickly found the exit from the classroom and opened his eyes. Both Roxy and Jolene were looking down at him on the bed. "What time is it?" Sean asked, looking around.
"Dinner time," Roxy said. "You weren't sleeping on me, were you?"
Sean shook his head, and swinging his legs off the bed, he sat there a minute and looked at them.
"No, I was studying the basics. It's fascinating, really."
"Why's that?"
"It's like computer programming. It's just another programming language, with its own syntax and structures. The theory is all so similar."
Sean smiled.
"It looks like all of those computer courses I took will still pay off."
"Have you learned how to cast anything?" Jolene asked.
"No, not yet. That was what I was starting on when you interrupted me. Honestly, though, now that you mention it, I'm pretty hungry. I had no idea I'd been in there that long."
"Isn't there any kind of a clock?"
"Not that I've noticed."
"Maybe you should try looking at your watch," Roxy suggested.
Sean shrugged.
"Sure, why not? So, what's for dinner?"
"We're gonna hit the buffet tonight," Jolene said.
"You're driving."
"Is that safe?" Sean asked.
"We're going to find out,"
Roxy shrugged. Jolene nodded.
The buffet is in the Silver Legacy, so it's all under casino security, and it's pretty full on a Wednesday. Plus, somebody warded the whole place decades ago.
Warded? Sean asked, giving her a curious look.
Best I can guess is that someone with power either liked going to the buffet there or to gamble. And so they warded the entire casino against scrying. The only way anyone is going to know that you're there is by actually physically finding you.
Oh, Sean nodded.
Oh, do you think you can ward my mom's car, seeing as we're using it?
Jolene thought about that a moment.
I think I can keep anyone from realizing it's yours when you're not in it. But they'll still be able to find you if they're trying hard enough.
How come it worked with the house?
Because the house doesn't move, Jolene laughed.
And why can't you just hide me from them?
Not my type of magic. Even the protections I cast on this place aren't in my normal realm, but my old master had learned them, because tantric masters are often not popular with the rest of the magical community.
Really? Jolene grinned.
Magic users have more essence for us to tap off of than normal humans, so we're very willing to sleep with them, and, well,
Jolene smirked then.
For some reason, their wives or husbands just don't seem to understand.
Go figure, Roxy laughed.
Well, seeing as you're ours now, Sean winked at Jolene, I don't think they'll be worrying about you much longer.
Jolene squirmed a little.
I think I found you a new place to live,
Jolene said, changing the subject. Roxy and Sean both looked at her questioningly.
The old Belvedere Tower, the taller one.
Isn't that abandoned still? Sean asked.
Yep, and that's exactly why it's a good place. No one lives there, but the smaller tower next door is full of people, so you can lose yourself in the crowd and then go up to the top floor.
How do we get in? Isn't the place next door a gated building?
Jolene smiled and nodded. That's the best part. It's hard to get into without a key card.
Which we don't have, Roxy pointed out.
Now you do.
Jolene smiled and gave them each one.
How did you get these?
Simple.
I live there.
Jolene grinned.
I thought you lived on campus.
Sean blinked and looked at her.
You're not a student? Oh, I'm a student. But you try to bring someone back to your dorm rooms for sex. Yeah, that didn't work out well at all.
Sean realized that the idea of Jolene having sex with other men was not sitting well with him when she said that. He coughed when he realized he was starting to growl.
So,
Sean said, noticing the look Roxy gave him and the confused expression on Jolene's face.
What are you studying? Oh, physical therapy. It's a good way to get my hands on people and tap into their essence, and because I know a lot of body manipulation spells, I can actually do something for them, beyond massaging and stuff, that is.
You know, I've been wondering, what happens if you drain all of someone's essence?
Usually they just fall asleep, Jolene said. I suppose I could kill someone if I went beyond that point and tried to drain their actual life force, but I don't know how to do that, and honestly, I'd rather not learn. It's icky.
Well, that's a relief. Sean smiled.
I'm not sure I could drain a lichen. You guys have a lot more essence than regular humans.
Yeah, I noticed that I seem to have a lot of magical energy when I was looking at my, well, stats in that magical spreadsheet that they use.
Everything about lichens is magical, hon, Roxy told him. I would have thought that to be obvious. I mean, we turn into animals and can regenerate damn near anything.
Sean nodded. It was obvious, once he considered it.
Just don't use up all of your essence or mana, Jolene warned.
Why? What happens then? Sean asked, a little worried.
Then you'll be stuck in whatever shape you're in, until you recover enough to shift. You'll also heal slower,
Roxy pointed out,
which will leave you more vulnerable to normal attacks.
Good things to know. Well, let's get going. Grabbing his things, Sean put on a light vest to make it a little less obvious that he had the massive gun strapped to his side. When they got to the casino, Sean went up a few floors in the parking garage, where there were fewer cars and fewer places for an ambush to hide. Then they all went down and had dinner. For once, Sean felt like he got his money's worth, because he was able to really pack it away.
When they finally left, he had his right arm around Roxy's waist and his left one around Jolene's, holding them close as they walked. Sean noticed he got a few looks from Jolene when he put his arm around her, so he bent over and kissed her, making her blush. He kissed Roxy then, just so she wouldn't feel left out.
"This way," Jolene said, and instead of leading them back to their car, she led them out and down the street. "Okay, there are a few ways to get into the big tower from the smaller one, and I made sure that there aren't any cameras on them. I think there are ways in from beneath the street as well."
"Beneath the street?" Sean asked.
"Sewers, water, power, phone,"
Jolene replied, and led them up to the back side of the shorter tower, and using her key card, she buzzed them in, and then took a left, and they went down a long hallway with a few doors off of it.
"Maintenance access. Most of the people living here don't know about it, but some of us use it because it's convenient."
Sean and Roxy just nodded, and they came to the end of the hallway. There was a heavy door.
"This is kept locked, but they keep the key right here," Jolene said, and bending down, she ran her hand along the underside of a small metal box. "The key is magnetic, and there's a magnet in the box. So someone, I guess, decided to stick it there."
"Is that someone you?"
Roxy giggled.
Could be,"
Jolene giggled back and unlocked the door, then replaced the key. Opening the door, they stepped inside, and as Jolene locked it behind them, Sean looked around. They were in the back of a lobby that looked a little dated and was completely empty and rather dark as the windows and doors were all boarded up. Except for a lone exit sign above the door they'd just entered that was still lit, there was no other illumination at all.
"Come on, we need to take the stairs. There's no power in here at all."
Sean nodded, and he and Roxy followed Jolene over to a nice wooden door, which, once opened, revealed a stairwell that went down, as well as rose all the way up into the darkness.
"How many floors is it?"
Roxy asked.
20.
Sean could see Roxy take off her shoes and push her pants down really low.
Then she shifted and smiled at him, tail curling behind her cute butt. Sean took off the vest, unbuttoned his shirt, kicked off his shoes, and then, pushing his pants down as well, shifted too. Sean had been worried about his pants falling down. They were pretty low on him now, but with his much larger size, they weren't about to go anywhere, especially as the once loose legs were now nice and snug.
"Here, hold these,"
Sean said to Jolene after picking up his shoes and handed them to Jolene along with his vest.
"You expect me to carry this all the way up for you?"
Jolene said, scowling at him.
Sean squatted down in front of her.
"Hop on."
"Oh,"
Jolene said, and quickly got on Sean's back.
"I didn't think you wanted to climb 40 flights of stairs,"
Sean chuckled, and followed Roxy as she started up the stairs quickly.
"So, what's on the floors we're passing?"
Roxy asked softly as they climbed.
"Condos," Jolene said. "They were rebuilding this place when the economy crashed, so they just abandoned it for now."
"You've looked at them?"
Sean asked.
"Some. Mostly they're just walls and fittings for fixtures. Only the first few floors are done."
"Have you been to the top?"
Jolene sighed and nodded.
"Yeah. Took me almost 20 minutes. I hate going upstairs."
"But you're fine with going down, right?"
Sean teased.
"Hey,"
Jolene grumbled at him and bit his ear.
"Ooh, do that again,"
Sean said and slowed down a moment, purring loudly.
"What did you do, Jolene?"
Roxy asked, looking back at the two of them.
"I bit his ear. Isn't that supposed to hurt?"
Roxy laughed.
"It's a form of foreplay. For us big cats, that is. Now, if you want to play, how about you wait until we get to the top?"
"Yes, the top,"
Sean purred, grinning, as Jolene just sighed. When they got to the top, they exited the stairwell through the fire door onto the penthouse floor. It was actually rather nice.
"What the hell? Why is this finished?"
Roxy asked.
"They never gutted the penthouse in the remodel,"
Jolene told her as she slid off of Sean's back.
"Everything is in here. Beds, chairs, tables, bathrooms, showers, the whole lot. Best of all,"
Jolene grinned,
"the power may be off, but the water is still on."
"The water's on? Why?"
Sean asked, looking around. There were plastic tarps all over the tables and couches. Looking into one of the rooms, there was a nice big bed, also with a tarp over it.
Water sprinklers? They have to keep the lines charged, and, well, they turned off the other floors when they stripped them out for the remodel, but as they never got to this one, they never turned it off.
Nodding, Sean smiled and started to pull off his shirt, as well as his holster, and set them down on the floor, then very carefully peeled his pants off.
What are you doing? Jolene asked.
Both of you,
Sean grinned, and reaching out, snagged Jolene's hand before she could move out of reach.
What?
Jolene said, but she was grinning.
Well, don't you have to make this place protected or something?
Sean purred, and walking over to the large bed, he pulled the plastic drop cloth off with his free hand as he pulled Jolene along with the other.
Going to join us, dear?
Sean asked, smiling at Roxy, who had also shed her clothes.
Wouldn't miss it for the world,
Roxy purred.
You know I don't need to have sex to put my protections down, right?
Jolene giggled.
I just want to make sure you do it right, is all,
Sean purred. Jolene laughed and then got a rather shocked expression as Sean kissed her, still in his hybrid form. This was something she hadn't expected.
Aren't you going to shift?
Jolene asked him, looking up and down at the size of him. She had slept with some fairly large men, but none had been as big as Sean now was.
I thought you were supposed to be kinky,
Sean teased.
You weigh enough to crush me.
Don't worry, you can be on top.
Sean grinned, lying down on the bed.
I'm not going to get a choice on this, am I?
I warned you,
Roxy said, pushing Jolene from behind onto the bed with Sean.
Warned her what?
Sean asked, looking up at the two of them as he spread out on his back.
That sooner or later, if she didn't run while she had the chance, she was gonna end up in your pride,
Roxy giggled.
Oh, guess she wants it then,
Sean purred.
And why do you say that?
Jolene chuckled.
Because not only didn't you run, but you're taking your clothes off.
Jolene blushed rather fiercely. Yeah, she wanted him all right. Roxy, too. They were both brimming with power. With them, she really wouldn't need anyone else. And honestly, anyone who claimed that variety is the spice of life never had a favorite restaurant. She already had an emotional attachment to Roxy, and damned if she wasn't forming one to Sean already. Otherwise, she wouldn't have spent 7 hours searching the city today for a place for him to hole up.
Let's just say that your offer brings a lot to the table, and I'm... Oh!
Sean dragged her down and kissed her.
I love you, Jolene, and you love both of us. Now how about we make some magic?
Roxy groaned at the corny line as Sean smiled. Jolene sighed, but smiled as well.
Yes. Let's.
Thursday. Moving day. Sean looked at his backpack. He'd gotten several pairs of pants and half of his shirts into it, along with quite a few of his shoes. All of the rest of his clothing, except for one set, he'd stuffed in his duffel bag, which he'd leave in the trunk of his car. His laptop had gone in his backpack. He decided that he would try to finish out the courses of the three professors who had agreed to let him finish up remotely. All of his other courses he'd dropped. He'd also grabbed a couple of textbooks that he thought might help him. Then he'd looked around the room for anything important that he just had to take with him. Sadly, there wasn't a single thing. He'd gotten the folded box out from under his bed, tossed everything else of his that was left, which, other than books, his pillow, and his bed sheets, amounted to a plastic Vault Boy statue and an old Final Fantasy XI clock.
One of these days, Sean sighed, I'm going to own some actual stuff.
Picking up the box, he took it to Roxy's room.
Are you sure it's all right to leave this here?
He asked her.
Sure, hon. Not like I'm going to be here much anymore myself,
Roxy shrugged. She hadn't told him yet, but she'd already dropped two of her classes,
as well as told the track team coach that she was dealing with family issues and wouldn't be at any more meets this semester. Thankfully, the coach had been sympathetic instead of a pain, and had already leaned on her instructors to go easy on her, so she wouldn't lose her scholarship. Seeing as she was already a good student with good grades, Roxy suspected she'd get passing marks in the rest of her classes, even if she didn't show up for the rest of the year.
"When are you telling the landlord you're moving out?"
Roxy asked Sean.
"I already sent him an email, telling him I wouldn't be here after Saturday,"
Sean said and shrugged.
"What about your room?" "My dad pays for it. If we decide we can't come back here, he'll just hire someone to come in here and pack it all up and have it shipped home."
Sean nodded.
"Let me get my stuff, and we'll get out of here."
Going back to his room, Sean picked up his backpack and his duffel bag and looked around the room. He'd miss it. He'd been living here almost 2 years now. His first time on his own. It was nice, it was cheap, and it was within walking distance to everything. But it wasn't safe anymore. Sooner or later, they'd stop trying to find him with magic, and they'd resort to more mundane means. He had to be ready for that. The last thing he wanted to do was subject the others living here to the kinds of people who were after him. Walking out and closing the door behind him, he went back to Roxy's room, and after putting his backpack on, he picked up her duffel bag as well as his, and they went down to his car.
"Moving out?"
George, the other guy living on the top floor, asked him.
"Yeah, my neighbor died and left me his house,"
Sean sighed.
"I figured it would be cheaper to live there, even with the commute."
"Wow. I don't know if I should offer condolences or congratulations," George said.
"Are you going with him too?"
he asked Roxy.
"After the semester ends,"
she smiled.
"Enjoy the break."
"Definitely. You two have fun,"
George said and went back into his room.
"How long before everyone hears about that?"
Roxy snickered as they walked down the stairs.
"Hopefully long before people start coming around here looking for me," Sean replied.
Going outside to the car, Sean tossed everything into the trunk and then gave Roxy a kiss.
"I'll see you later tonight,"
Roxy told him,
"after I finish classes."
"Keep your eyes open and be careful,"
Sean warned her.
"Don't worry. It's you they want, and I doubt they even know about me."
"Yet," Sean said.
"Yet,"
Roxy agreed and nodded. Kissing her again, he got into the car, and with a wave, he drove off. Everything seemed still outside, almost oppressive, like a big storm was building, and he wanted to be back inside before whatever was coming let go. Nobody had tried anything in days, and his birthday was only a week away. Sean figured if they had been desperate before, they'd be getting even worse over the next few days.
"Just how safe is this place?"
Sean asked Jolene, as he looked out the window again over the city. There was a storm brewing, you could see it, and everything about it felt wrong.
"With the amount of magic I dumped into it last night?"
Jolene came up behind him and gave Sean a hug.
"I don't think you've got anything to worry about."
"Something about that storm isn't right," Sean said, unconsciously moving back from the window as things got darker. Sean's cell phone rang. Opening it up, he looked at the number. It was Roxy.
"What's wrong?"
Sean asked immediately.
"Someone set the apartment house on fire."
Roxy was panting, hard, and there was a lot of wind noise.
"What? Where are you?"
Sean demanded.
"I'm running through the streets about as fast as I can. There were people outside waiting. They didn't stop me or anyone else as we ran out. As soon as I got out of sight, I shifted, and I think I hit a personal best on my speed for a few minutes there."
"I'll come get you," Sean growled.
"No, the storm doesn't feel right. Stay there. I'm almost there anyways."
"Okay,"
Sean growled and hung up the phone, then looked at Jolene, who was looking a little pale.
"Did you hear that?"
"I think I better redouble my wards,"
Jolene said, a bit worriedly, and immediately set to work doing just that. His phone rung again. Looking at it, it was Detective Schumer.
"Yes, Detective?"
Sean asked a little nervously.
"You okay, Sean? You sound worried."
"Someone just set my apartment house on fire. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. Why are you calling?"
"Well, I'm afraid I have some more bad news for you,"
Detective Schumer started.
"Oh, God. Please don't tell me my mother's dead."
"No, It's not your mother, Sean.
Sean sighed.
Thank God.
Your house blew up. So did Samson's.
What?
Sean asked, shocked.
They blew up. Together. About an hour ago. My boss called the sheriff, and he's got the state police over there right now. They've got their boys on it. We've got the city's bomb people checking it out as well. And I think even the BATF might be getting involved.
Shit,
Sean swore. Was anybody hurt?
Thankfully, no. Whoever blew them up put the bombs underneath and used shaped charges. At least, that's what the bomb squad is telling me. It just blew everything straight up, and then set whatever was left on fire.
I was just over there. Yesterday,
Sean gulped.
I was thinking of moving back to keep an eye on things until my mother got home.
Sean looked around and found a couch to sit down on.
Just what the hell are you involved in, son?
I think the people who murdered my father have decided they want me dead now, too.
Sean sighed.
Your father's death was an accident, Sean. I've seen the report.
Yeah, well, then why the hell are people trying to kill me? Why is my mom missing? Why is Samson...